We're going to run the country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. We're going to have our United States oil companies, the biggest anywhere in the world, go in, spend billions of dollars, fix the badly broken infrastructure, and start making money for the country. It won't cost us anything because the money coming out of the ground is very substantial. Why did
I have to break it? Good morning, Evan Bray. Welcome to a Tuesday morning, January 6th. Boy, for early January, the temperatures over the next week, not too shabby. It's pretty nice. I saw a plus two in the forecast over the next week. Zeros hovering around the minus two mark for a couple of days. So much of the province going to see milder temperatures over the next week. And today is Ukrainian Christmas Eve. For those celebrating Ukrainian Christmas, tonight is the big meatless dish feast. 12 meatless dishes. I have been lucky enough. I'm not Ukrainian. Don't have Ukrainian ancestry in my family, but have friends that are. Gary and Roxy Kaminsky, good friends of ours who are, always put on a feast on Ukrainian Christmas Eve. Sadly, we miss it tonight, but I'll tell you, the 12 meatless dishes, I ate things that I had never eaten before when the first time I went to this incredible meal. And there's just so much tradition wrapped up in this as well. So for those of you that are celebrating Ukrainian Christmas and have the 12 meatless dish dinner planned for tonight, I wish you all the best. And tomorrow, of course, is a different story. Ukrainian Christmas, the actual Christmas meal, there's a lot of meat, roasted meats and sausage and cold cuts and other hearty dishes for sure. So it's kind of the tale of two different feasts, if you will, and those that are celebrating, I wish you all the best for Ukrainian Christmas Eve today. Thanks again to General Rick Hillier, who started off the conversation this morning. Always happy to hear the perspective of Canada's former Chief of Defence Staff, one of the best we've ever had, in my opinion, talking about the exercise, the military operation that the United States executed in Venezuela on the early morning hours of Saturday. And then, of course, since then, we have heard lots about it. Nicolas Maduro was arrested. He is calling himself, he declared himself in court yesterday, a prisoner of war, pleaded not guilty to narco-terrorism and other charges, and basically said that because he's a head of state, he was abducted by the U.S. military. These were all the positions that he took in court. By the way, in front of a 93 or 92-year-old judge, Judge Alvin Hellerstein is the judge presiding over this case, 92 years old. Anyway, nonetheless, he is remanded. I think the next court date is not set till March 17th, so it'll be a while before he'll be back in court. Many people, of course, condemn him as a de facto. I've referred to him as a de facto leader. I mean, he did not win the last election, but rigged it in a way to say, I am not stepping out of the president's office. And while in office, continued to be a dictator, continued to arrange planes to enter Mexico under diplomatic cover to pick up money from drug transactions. The indictment alleges that they used military forces in Venezuela to traffic cocaine, previously seized by the authorities, accused of sending thugs to beat up and kidnap and murder rivals in the drug business or people that owed the money. So, I mean, this is truly gang activity. That is exactly what we're talking about. On the notion of, do the grounds exist? I mean, you heard General Rick Hillier talk about the fact that, yeah, military don't just, because there's a snap of the fingers of the federal government, say, okay, we're doing it. There are rooms full of lawyers. And yes, you can get various opinions. And yes, General Hillier even said a lot of times there is gray area that will be interpreted after the fact by many lawyers in the courts. That's all part of the process. But at the end of the day, this was a very successful mission. They were able to make the arrest. There are others that could be arrested there yet. And of course, the transition of power to a democratic society is something that many people are hoping to see. I saw a text on the text line that said, This is Brian in Saskatoon. The protesters are now protesting wanting a fair election in Nicaragua. Were they protesting when Maduro elected himself into the position? Nick in Saskatoon said, it's funny that protesters against the United States tend to be left-wing, whereas the Venezuelan expats are happy the dictator is gone. That is a fair thing to say. The protests that I've seen, the one yesterday in Regina, I think the numbers they said were about 30 people. This is a protest against the United States. The celebrations I've seen were in the tens of thousands of people all over the world, ex-Venezuelans, and I think that's the group that we should pay attention to. What are the actual expats from the country saying about this? Now, let's not kid ourselves. And I had this conversation with a friend yesterday, and it got fairly heated because this friend of mine absolutely despises Donald Trump. And for that reason, all he could see was red. Because Donald Trump had a hand in it. This is brutal. This is offside. This is blah, blah, blah. He's no better than the person that was arrested, blah, blah, blah. And this is where I feel like we have to just kind of take a breath for a second, right? Listen, Donald Trump can drive me crazy with the best of them. And I can give you a whole grocery list of things that he's done that I think is stupid. But at the end of the day, I don't believe that you can just say, I don't like a person, so everything they do is wrong. And this is one of those cases. I said this yesterday. My first reaction when I heard this on Saturday morning was not one of, oh boy, this is terrible. I was like, right on. I lived most of my adult professional life wanting to get the bad guy. We got the bad guy. The United States got the bad guy here. Now, were there ulterior motives? Is Donald Trump more interested in the oil? Yeah, okay. He probably is. Is this going to be a shot across the bow for the rest of countries that produce oil? Yeah, it probably is. In fact, we've got Premier Mo lined up to join the program tomorrow morning at 8:30, and we'll talk about that with Premier Mo. What does this mean for Saskatchewan and the oil industry? Probably puts greater emphasis on getting that infrastructure stood up in our country so that we can diversify our markets. Let's get to the Asian market. Let's get a pipeline to the West Coast. 1-877-332-8255. Phone lines are open, as are the text lines. I'd love to hear from you. Let's start in Regina Beach. I even gave Jimmy a plug this morning, and now he's calling in. How are you doing today, Jim?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad. You heard the general?
Yeah, I got a couple things, if you don't mind.
Sure.
But, first of all, when the leader of China says that you're going to go to war in 2027, the Americans have to take him for his word. So going back to Cuba, when Cuba allowed Russia to bring nuclear missiles towards Russia, the states had to act. Same with Venezuela. Venezuela has openly stated that the Chinese could put missile systems in their country, which would affect the oil that the Gulf would produce for the United States.
I don't think we're talking about that enough, Jim. I don't think we're focusing. I mean, the president brushed by that the other day in his remarks, but I think that's a bigger deal than people are making it out to be.
That's what's going on here. And so Canada has been dragging its feet by not producing oil and not sending it to the States, which means that they don't have a secure supply of oil. So they can't risk having the Gulf oil taken away from them in a time of war. And when Paul said the other day that we have time to get our oil industry up and running, we got about 5 years. And way Canada does all the permitting and such, we're not going to make the boat. Like, we got to get going now and get oil industry up and running, or we're going to lose out. Mm-hmm. And we'll lose out for many years.
Jim, always appreciate you calling into the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for your
Thank
service.
You.
Okay, Jim. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Ken in Saskatoon. Good morning, Ken. Happy New Year. I think this is the first time we've chatted in 26. Thanks for calling in.
Well, it is the first time. And, you know, I always listen to how things are covered and what words are used. And it's funny. People are willing to call him a dictator, but not a socialist dictator. you know, all of a sudden, you know, socialism is wonderful. It's the warmth of embrace. You know, this is a socialist dictator. Let's not remember that. I also hear them say, you know, the Venezuela oil industry. Let us be clear. It was ConocoPhillips and Exxon. ConocoPhillips and Exxon, they had their equipment, all of their stuff, all of their investments expropriated without payment. There's actually international law, if you want to get there, and there's judgments against Venezuela, $8.7 billion for ConocoPhillips and $5 billion for Exxon. So when you're talking about the Venezuelan oil industry, all you're doing is that you're going and saying, okay, these American companies get their stuff back, all right? Hmm. And which the courts have said that that they took away illegally. So here's where Paul, your analyst yesterday was wrong. Is that he's going and talking about Canada and the United, and how long it would take for Venezuela to get this out, and whether these companies will go in there. Oh, geez, they're looking at the richest deposit on the planet, place where they had already invested, and where their equipment already is. So yes, it's going to take billions of dollars, but they're going to go in, and I'm going to make you a prediction. They will get the up to 2 million barrels level before we get a pipeline.
Well, okay. 3 million. Okay, I want to clarify what you just said. So you're predicting that Venezuela oil exports will hit 2 million barrels a day before we get a pipeline in Canada?
Yeah.
That's a bold prediction, Ken, but I got it marked down, and I appreciate you calling in. The question that I wonder about, because Ken's talking about, yeah, we had ConocoPhillips and Exxon and these big companies that are still or were in Venezuela, have since been either pulled out or removed, lost in some cases some contracts and equipment and all of those things. Will they be interested in going back in? I get it. It's the world's richest oil deposits, but it comes with risk. And how much have we talked about investment stability being a core to seeing companies invest in countries? I mean, gosh, we've talked about this in Canada. So will this be a thing that will prohibit the companies from going back into Venezuela? That's going to be interesting to see. Okay, more texts lined up, more calls lined up. Don't go away. Open lines continue. We're just going to take a quick break. We will be right back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.
It is true that the oil infrastructure in Venezuela from top to bottom is very dilapidated, very decrepit. The Chavez-Maduro regime has been stealing the oil profits for decades. So for anybody to try and revive production in Venezuela and make it ready for export is going to take billions and billions of dollars of capital investment, and it's going to take time to do it.
I noticed this morning that Edmundo Gonzalez, who is the leader of the official opposition, actually, he's the one that won the election, truth be told. But, of course, we know after the ballot count, suspiciously, nope, he didn't. He came out praising the U.S. action this morning. And, of course, he works very closely with Maria Machado, who is a name we've all become familiar with. She's been a long time political activist against this socialist dictatorship that they've got in Venezuela. She has been, in fact, she worked closely back in 2005, I think it was, with then U.S. President Bush. So has been a longtime ally. And I mentioned this yesterday, but when she won the Nobel Peace Prize this year, she actually dedicated it partially to Donald Trump and the work. Now, keep in mind, at that time, this military operation hadn't even happened. Might have been in the works, but hadn't even happened. She actually dedicated part of being the recipient of that to the work that he was doing to try and advocate for this. I saw a text from my friend Daryl, who will text in from time to time, suggesting that we shouldn't be surprised that Donald Trump is kind of activating the military the way he is. We did see him change the name from the Department of Defense to the Department of War. Should that not have been a signal? And I know a few people have pointed that out. Now, there are people that are not happy about this. Quinn in Saskatoon says, Evan, just because they got one bad guy or the bad guy doesn't give them the right to move in and line their pockets with oil. It's like busting the drug dealer and then putting the money they collect in their own pockets for doing such a good job. It isn't right. They should help rebuild Venezuela and help their people, not themselves. It's sickening what this so-called president does. So, you know, Quinn's point kind of aligns with Bobby. I noticed Bobby out of Saskatoon, who is not a fan of Trump. In fact, Bobby threatens to shut the radio off if I talk about Trump, but then texts me to tell me about her feelings on Trump. So I don't think she's shut it off yet. But Bobby said that everything Donald Trump does is wrong in her mind because he only does things that benefit him, doesn't give a crap about anybody else. Wait, you know what? I mean, Donald Trump, yeah, he does. He is very self-serving. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that his actions can't also benefit others, right? I mean, there can be overlap there. And this is where it feels like, I said this yesterday, I don't feel like there's absolutes on this. Yet I know there's a lot of people wanting to pull out absolutes on this discussion. Okay, let's go back to the phone line. James in Saskatoon, your thought on this whole Venezuela situation, James.
Well, first of all, Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you.
You know, so for me, in Canada, I listen to what the conversation is by our leaders, and I find it interesting that somehow people are catching it from my perspective partially right. And the suggestion is to say, Evan, that we need to ensure even now more than ever a new pipeline. And I concur, but I think the new pipeline has to go stateside. I think this is the moment that we need to even tie tighter bounds with our American brothers, right? We need to ensure that we have even more production going down to the Gulf Coast. And I would say this should be the catalyst to why we get the Keystone XL moving forward at a breakneck speed.
It's an interesting concept, and many people wonder, is there going to be an interest by the U.S. president, by the U.S. government, to do that now that there's this possibility with Venezuela?
So having two different sources of production to the Gulf Coast has never been a bad thing. But I think, if anything, Canada, we need to understand who our friends are, and let's be purposeful on that. So, once again, my friend, you have yourself a great day. I think that one bad man was finally caught, and I see that the people of Venezuela are more than happy.
They definitely are. They're definitely celebrating, aren't they, James? Thanks for the call. Les, I'm not forgetting about you. I'm sorry it's a busy day on the phones. If you're good to hang around, Les, we will get to your call first when we come back from the break. Open Lines continues next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Such a thrill, but your love don't pay my bills. I need
fun. People were talking about this, how Christmas was leaner this year, how they had never really struggled and never really thought about how much Christmas dinner cost, and all of a sudden they were worrying about it. People are pinched, and it's incredibly frustrating that you have a government that stands up and boldly declares this is the most affordable place in the country to live. Let's get back to session. Let's have this government show some accountability for the decisions that they've made.
Welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Lots of different storylines we're following. A lot of people talking about Venezuela still this morning. Steve out of Saskatoon with a text that says, you know what? I don't like Trump, but I do love how he makes the political left explode and humiliate themselves defending socialist dictators. With the laughing so hard I'm crying face emoji. 1-877-332-8255. So, you know, there's a text here that says, Maduro was absolutely bad, but do you agree with a country walking into another country, literally taking it over with no provocation from them at all? So all I would say on that is keep in mind What has happened so far is Maduro was arrested. That's it. Yes, we have heard Trump talk about what he wants to do. We've heard Marco Rubio soften that a little bit, right? We don't know what this is going to look like. We don't know. We do know there's an interest in oil. We do know that the U.S. government, there's been some hints that there could be incentives for American oil companies to get back in there and get the Venezuelan oil business back up and running again. But again, none of that has happened. You know, I'm not yet jumping to the conclusion that the U.S. military are on the streets of Venezuela walking around with, armed military personnel taking over and running the country. I mean, that's the extreme of this, but we don't know that that's going to happen. So, you know, the texter that I'm reading here that says, let's just cool it and see what happens. Obviously, this move should be for the better of the people of Venezuela. Look at the past. Yes, the United States will make some money, but in the end, Venezuelan people will be better off. So it's that's kind of the attitude that I'm taking on this one as well. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Les in Corning. Happy New Year, Les. How are you today?
Happy New Year, Elvin. Doing good, thank you.
What do you got for me on open lines?
Krista Friedland.
Okay.
They've known about this on December 22nd. That's the date that she was appointed to this position.
She was offered the position, that's right. And I think she talked with Carney on December 24th is what I read.
That is correct, Evan. Now, she should have resigned the 25th.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a security threat to Canada, you name it. And Mark Carney right away had to have a meeting with Zelensky in Halifax when he found out that Donald Trump had a 90% guaranteed deal with Russia that the war would be over. And he would help rebuild economically and secure the Ukraine with weapons and everything for protection. Well, where did Mark Carney, where is he now? He's down in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he down there? To protect his interests. He thought he had it all built up, that he was going to rebuild Ukraine. Well, there went Brookfield. And why isn't he at a home protecting us? Dealing with matters here, like Donald Trump is down in the States. He didn't take Christmas off. This is absolutely ridiculous.
I can't say I'm surprised to hear you say anything that you just said. You and I have talked enough, Les, that I'm not going to say I could tell you exactly what your thoughts would be on it. But on the Chrystia Freeland thing, you're right in terms of the timeline. This job, and keep in mind, it is an unpaid position. Now, unpaid means she's not on salary. You know there's going to be honorariums. There's going to be per diems if she's doing business on behalf of the country of Ukraine. She announces that she's been offered the position. Actually, let's back that up. Ukraine announced, the president of Ukraine, Vladimir Zelensky, announced that she was being offered the position. And a lot of the political criticism that she's getting is really around the timing, right? She should have likely resigned her position first, resigned as a federal MP, stepped away. She, of course, was tapped to be Canada's special representative for the reconstruction of Ukraine, stepped away from that. That all happened yesterday, but it's kind of after the fact, and that's where the criticism is coming into place. She's also moving into and taking a role on with the Board of Roads Trust, I've been told. So that's the future of Krista Freeland. The criticism, I think, that is coming out loud and clear, and I heard it yesterday on a couple of interviews I listened to with other political experts, is about the fact that she should have identified this conflict immediately and resigned immediately, as opposed to rotting it out for another, whatever it ends up being, a couple months of federal paychecks. Okay, let's stay on the phone lines. I want to grab this call from Dwayne in Carrot River. How are you today, Dwayne?
Oh, as good as can be possible.
Okay.
With what's going on in the world.
Yeah, there's lots going on. What are your thoughts this morning?
Well, I just had a dream last night that maybe Trump has given us a way to solve our gun problem. For decades, we've been trying to get the United States to stop running across our border with all of these guns. we've given them lots of time to clean this mess up. And so maybe Trump has taught us, if you want to clean this mess up, what you do is you tell the United States and their president, whoever it happens to be, it just happens to be Trump at this time, that if he and Melania step into Canada in the next little while, we're going to finally do something about the fact that they haven't done anything except let these guns wander into our country, just the same as Trump felt about the drugs into the United States, and we'll arrest them and charge them with illegal matters.
Well, I'm smiling about. Can I just throw this in, Dwayne? I'm not cutting you off. I just want to throw this in. I'm smiling as you're saying it because I don't think the Canadian military would be going down and getting Trump. I laughed as you say we would welcome him to walk into our country. I think we would probably need that, wouldn't we?
Well, maybe by then we'll have some of those F-35s he wants to sell us, and we can use them.
What about what's going on with Venezuela? Have you got any thoughts on that?
Well, let's face it, war or these invasions in the United States and other countries in the world has nothing to do with promoting democracy. This has to do with somebody filling their pockets with bags of money. So people don't confuse themselves and say, oh, isn't it wonderful that Trump's putting democracy back into Venezuela? And if we stop and think about all the wars that the United States has been involved in the last 100 years, every one of them had to do with money.
Money and oil is at the heart of lots of world conflict. There's no doubt. Okay, we need to take our break. I've actually got a guest scheduled to pop in here in just a moment, talk about an important topic that is top of mind for many people, and it's colon cancer. We're going to have a conversation with someone from the Business Insider and some new research that's been done with regard to colon cancer being identified in younger ages in the world. We'll go there next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.